Thanks. In everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20. Makes sense. We're all under a lot of stress, difficult year, but maybe we can think a little bit about what's important and what is not as important. And among the thanks, we'll keep praying for those that have great needs and stresses. And there are quite a few. Some are church members, and some are family members, and some are outside of our city. Regarding announcements, they're going to sing Amazing Grace at the end, and so I don't forget it, I'm going to write it down here. And all the musicians are going to play Amazing Grace for us at the end, so I'll write that down. Later, we're bringing back the Angel Tree gifts. These are gifts that go to children whose parents are in prison, and they've already been selected, and we're bringing those back. And Children's Christmas program is December 6th in the evening, so might mark that down. We want to thank God, but we are also thankful that God has prepared many, many musicians. It takes a long time to practice to do music, and we sure do have a long list of them. But first, we begin with the children who are going to come up and say why they are thankful for today. Very good.
Remember, spread out. We've got the whole thing. Spread out. Hands up. Here we go. How did that COVID stop? Spread out.
I am thankful for our Veterans Guard and our house church, giving us water, happiness, pencils, and shoes, family, cousins, friends, clothes, and birthdays, treasures, food, the world, science, school, and senses. Thankful for my house and my friends and my cousins and my parents. I'm thankful for protection, the Bible, Jesus, God gave. Mommy, Daddy, Black, Taylor, Bethany, Harvey, Faith, Emma, Candace, and Godwell. I am thankful for our church, for God, family and cousins, our house, friends, Jesus' birth, food, my dog, and school. I'm thankful for a home, a mother, a father, the Bible, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus, a bed, and my imagination. I am thankful for my parents, God, friends, church, water, and my family and my friends. I am thankful for God, parents, sisters, veterans, church, my dogs, my snakes, nurses, food and water, shelter, the Bible, and Jesus. I'm thankful for veterans, God, sisters, Jesus, family, friends, cousins, the Young Gay Bible Church. I am thankful for God, parents, sisters, friends, teachers, Bible, church, pets, food, shelters, clothing, blankets, jackets, family. I'm thankful for my God, friends, family, church, mass, and water and food.
Stand and sing with us, please.
Thank you. worship your name. to my God when storm clouds are hovering close o'er my head. I will praise His power at midnight, for light He alone can share. I will sing with joy and gladness, for hope that He giveth to me. Wonderful Lord, and my Savior, ever with Jesus to be. I will sing to my God in gladness, or if sorrow weigh down my soul, I will praise His loving kindness, a blessing that o'er me rolls. I will sing from my heart forever of the grace that sets me free. Almighty God, in His mercy, save us a sinner like me.
The Mayflower Compact was written while their boat was in the harbor, but not yet on land. Written in a weather of cold drizzle and so forth. I'm not sure I can read the original hand, but that's what I made for everybody. This is William Bradford, the way he writes, the way he wrote the Mayflower Compact. And in Old English, sometimes what we call an F is pronounced like an S, but I'm going to go ahead and read it out of a more modern script, and we should remember them today. Here's how it goes. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, Ireland, defender of the faith. Now, here's the part I think is most important. Having undertaken for the glory of God an advancement of the Christian faith, that's the most important, in honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves into a civil body politic for the better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, mentioned above, and by virtue thereof to enact, constitute, and frame such one equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. A witness thereof we have here under subscribed our names at Cape Cod the 11th of November in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th year of our Lord, 1620. Part I think that is the most important is having undertaken for the glory of God an advancement of the Christian faith. The next one will be George Washington, and we won't take time to read that, but you can look at that when you bring them home. And now, Kim and Lindsay are really working hard today along with everyone else.
Change and find something better.
Last week on Veterans Day was the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims landing and the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Compact, which we read earlier. So it seemed like 2020 would be a good year to review some of their story, but more of their characteristics. We should understand them. Reversing it, we'd ask the question, if they could, would they understand us? I think not. They wouldn't be very good vegetarians. They wouldn't be very good at having no guns. Paintings of them show them taking guns to church. Not so much worried about church, but about the pathway on the way to church. They were very, very persistent, very stubborn in what they did. Independent. That's kind of our heritage, independent spirit. Now, when we read the Mayflower Compact, they were respectful of the royals, but they didn't want them to tell them how to run their churches. At that time, you were supposed to read of the Anglican Book of Prayer. After the American Revolution, they had to change the name to Episcopal in America because of Anglicans' tie back to England. But they would say, here's the prayer book, read this. They also had rules of who could be ordained and who could not be ordained. A little later, John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, was in jail. He was not supposed to be ordained. My guess is in that system, people like me would not be ordained. So they'd be telling you what you can say at church and who can say it. And 1620 was time to leave. They showed respect, did they not, in the way they wrote the Mayflower Compact, but they wanted to leave. They left in two ships. Mayflower, we know. They left in another one called the Speedwell, which didn't go at great speed and didn't sail very well. And I had to go back. Now, what would you think if you started out in two ships and one of them was unsafe and had to go back? You're left on the Mayflower. You would think, well, the first one didn't make it. We're going on out in the middle of nowhere. 102 passengers, 30 and 40 crew members, kind of crowded. We know this year how crowded works with germs. 3,000 miles for 66 days. They left kind of late. They left in September. It was like cold and windy and rainy and snow, and the boat leaked, and there was a beam in the underside of it. The beam cracked on the way over. That'll make you think. One man washed overboard. They did throw ropes in the water and did catch him and eventually got him back up. Independent in spirit, very, very brave, very determined, very spiritually deep despite suffering and danger. We are having a bad year. This is not a good year. I just learned this week of one of my friends who died from COVID. Grew up together in Michigan. In Florida now, not a good year. On the other hand, 1620 was not a good year either. I won't go through all the casualty list. They landed in the harbor and couldn't really get off just yet because of the weather, but the crew wanted to go back. So it's kind of like either go back with us or get off now. Get off. 102 people. By spring, there were five or six healthy men to plant. They had seeds, but they had no livestock, no chickens, no eggs, seeds. Seeds of them, things that didn't grow very well anyway in the New World. By the first Thanksgiving, there were four healthy adult women. I didn't bother to look at all the paintings and pictures, but if there's any more than four cooks, that's too many. Sources did say 90 Indians. Well, that's cooking quite a bit, or getting some help. A long time ago, I read The Plymouth Plantation by William Bradford. Fascinating. And, you know, in historical study, original sources are the best, especially if you think they're trying to tell the truth. I'd like to look at some of their characteristics, and when I do quote, we'll quote from William Bradford. For their characteristics, the pilgrims believe God controls everything. If I can use a second sentence, this led to persistence. God controls everything. He even allows the bad. Therefore, their attitude was, we will keep going and we are not going to quit. Nothing is going to stop us because God controls the destiny. Here's William Bradford's account when the beam in the lower part of the deck broke. Quote, we committed ourselves to the will of God to proceed. I don't know whether anybody knows at what point in the Atlantic the beam broke, but they were out there a ways. The other ship had already gone back, and we committed ourselves to the will of God to proceed. Here's another quote. The Lord is never lacking unto his own in their greatest need. His holy name be praised. Some more phrases from William Bradford. Without sentences, but he kept talking about the hand of God. That sounds like the Old Testament. The hand of God, only the pilgrims are writing about, the special providence of God. So they believe very much in God's control, even allowing bad things. And the result was what I call holy stubbornness. Secondly, they were extremely dedicated to worship. They were going to do worship. Now, we'd get this from the church services and all that, but when they sent out a landing craft, we would call it, a rowboat, to go find a place, that shows how dedicated they were to worship. This is December 1620. In December, 11 guys were healthy. By spring, it's like 5 or 6, but in December, 11 guys are healthy. So they get on what the sources call a shallop. We'd say landing craft, you know, rowboat, but maybe a little sail on it. And they go on a Saturday, expecting to find a place to disembark later, and everybody can get off, and we'll build something there. But on Saturday, it was raining and snow and cold and fog, and they couldn't see anything. So they could hear the waves hitting the rocks, but they didn't want to go up in there, couldn't see anything, so they pulled back. The next day was more light. They could have gone ashore then, but they didn't, because it was Sunday. We're not under the law of Moses, so, we can skip a Sunday. And we could have taken the choice to go look for a place, but it was their conviction to worship on a Sunday. They wouldn't go anywhere. They had, out in an island, out in the cold, they had a worship service and stayed there all day. And maybe they did not morally need to do that, as I would evaluate it, but it does show something about them. They were going to do that. They were going to do it outside. They were going to do it in the cold. They weren't going to do any work on Sunday. They were going to worship. So we'll look at them, review them all at the end, but they believe very much God controls destiny, even the bad stuff. They believe very much in church and worship attendance. Third thing is they obviously love the Bible, and I want to add they like to learn everything. William Bradford was not their pastor. That guy's name was William Brewster. William Bradford, who made the Mayflower Compact, was a lawyer, but he was an orphan. And at age 12 on, he started reading the Bible and never quit. And even though he was an expert at law, he learned to read Hebrew and Greek so he could read the Bible. They believed in educating children, but it was the next batch that came in, you know, the Puritans, when they started schools. And I guess I'll say they founded Harvard in 16 years. I wanted to be sure of their motto, so I looked it up because it's so different than now. Sorry. Their motto was Veritas, or truth, and their motto was for the glory of Christ. So they believed in learning the Bible, but they believed in learning everything else, particularly legacy. It's easy to see that the people that settled the United States knew the Bible, but also knew history, particularly the history of democracy. Particularly, say, the Greeks versus the Persians, who were dictators and tyrannical. You get this from the place names. Well, I've seen lately where Joe Biden goes to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I've been to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Where does Rehoboth come from? It's in Genesis. We've already kind of skipped by it in our verse-by-verse study, and we'll get back to it in Genesis 26, but it means a wide place. But whoever first sailed by the place called it Rehoboth Beach, and the name caught on. There are lots of places like this, Dothan, Alabama, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, St. Paul, Minnesota, Bethany, Oklahoma. The people that settled this country knew the Bible. They also knew about democracy and tyranny. I get that from where I'm from. Our hometown was named Athens. Our elementary school was named, they pronounced it wrong, but they should have said Leonidas, but it's Leonidas Elementary School. And the grocery store was named the Spartans. So every little town in Michigan has a grocery store named the Spartans. What's that all about? Well, you had the dictators and tyrannical emperors of Persia coming into Greece, and something had to be done, and the 300 Spartans stood in the gap. And everybody settling this country knew about that. They knew about dictators, and they knew about standing in the gap. They knew about standing up to them. So the town names show that. The town names show that the early settlers, including the pilgrims, wanted to read the Bible, and they wanted to know history, particularly the history of freedom. Number four, they obviously believed in separation. Separation does not mean disliking unsaved people, but it does not mean approving evil that destroys them either. We oppose evil because it hurts people, and we don't want to see them destroyed. I've actually done counseling this way with people in very dangerous wrongs. And it's not like that we dislike them, but we don't want them to harm themselves. So separation is that sometimes people are welcome to be friends, but they can't run things. And by pilgrim separation, they disagreed with the British philosophy that every citizen is a church member. No. Not everybody. Applied to now, it'd be like every American is a Christian by virtue of being American. They did not believe that every British person was a Christian by virtue of being British. So they did not think unbelievers were real Christians, and they did not think they should be church members unless they professed faith in Christ. This is not William Bradford, but it's 1648, so awfully early. The doors of the Church of Christ upon earth do not open so wide that all people may freely enter, good and bad. Those seeking admission, we might say membership, must be examined to see if they have faith in Jesus Christ. So there's an attitude of separation. I would at least modify it. I think unsaved people should be always welcome to attend and always welcome for any pastoral care or counsel. But true, they're not Christians. I'm true they should not be members. I'm true they should not be Christian leaders. And that's kind of the policy of the pilgrims and the Puritans. They were called separatists. And the greatest separation was getting on a boat and leaving, even though it was very dangerous. Kind of the attitude, and you saw in the wording how respectful they were to the king, but the attitude is you're not going to tell us what book we read out of in church. And you're not going to tell us who can talk and who cannot talk. Finally, they prayed a lot. And we get that from Thanksgiving. You know, they prayed at Thanksgiving, and Squanto and Samoset taught them how to plant Indian corn, and what would be wrong is to plant it, they're supposed to put dead fish with it. So they taught them how to do that, and then they had a good crop, and that's Thanksgiving also, but 2 years later, nothing grew. In 1623, there was no rain in July or August or September in New England. They prayed. They prayed for 9 hours. I thought about that sitting over there. This service is going to be a little bit long, but it won't be 9 hours. They prayed for 9 hours, but you do have to realize there wasn't any food in 1623. 2 years earlier there was, but 2 years later there was not. And they prayed for 9 hours about the drought. Now, I'd have to look up the source again, but I think it's William Bradford. They prayed and it rained the next day because they were going to die. That was not a good year. They prayed for 9 hours for it to rain. Here is a quote. At night, many times not knowing where to have a bit of anything to eat the next day, they had need to pray for daily bread. Well, we hardly ever pray for daily bread anymore because it's not quite that dangerous, but what a thought. God take care of us. Obviously, the pilgrims were not a part of the Bible, but they took a Bible name, did they not? Like the book of Hebrews and the book of 1 Peter, that all believers are pilgrims in the sense that this world is not fully home and we're just kind of traveling through it. And they took that name. They're the travelers and the movers. And they do deserve our attention. When you're thinking about the founding of America, we cannot leave them out. I will resist talking about other directions, but we cannot leave them out. They believed that God controlled everything, and therefore, even in difficulty, would not stop. They were dedicated to worship, and they had a conviction about it, even though they had things to do, and it was cold and lousy, and they had worship anyway. They loved Bible reading, and they liked learning about everything, particularly the heritage, especially freedom and democracy versus tyranny. They were independent-minded and separatists, move away from evil, a little bit like a traditional American spirit, independent, you know, follow God first. They prayed in a time of need. 400 years ago, we don't want to wear brown hats. And the ladies don't want to wear brown dresses every day. Good characteristics, though. It would be very good to follow those things. Will the choir please come?
In the world that I've been living in, collapses at my feet. When my life is shattered and torn, though I'm windswept and battered, I can cling to the cross and find peace. Dark room of my suffering, there's a light. the midst of my storm. Oh, there is peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. Oh, there's an anchor, there's a rock to cast my faith upon. Jesus rise in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst, perfect peace in the midst, peace in the midst of my storm.
I would like to say a special thank you to Amy because of devotions and their COVID mess, and Angela had to be gone, but Amy only got that music a week ago and volunteered to play it for us, and we've been working on it 2 or 3 months, so thank you, Amy.
We have some congregational songs to sing, so if you'd please join and sing with us. Hymn number 561, We Gather Together.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing, sing praises to His name. He forgets not His own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, Thou, Lord, was at our side. All glory be Thine. We all do extol Thee, Thou leader triumphant, and pray that Thou still our defender wilt be. Let Thy congregation escape tribulation, Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free.
Next hymn is number 559, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
Come ye thankful people, come, raise a song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our
Well, it would be all right if everybody wants to be quiet today. And also, over the years, we've been doing this for decades. Eventually, nearly everybody has come up and said something anyway. But does someone want to give thanks and say some words to the church? Thank you, Jim. How about it?
So this is highly dangerous. I don't have any notes. But I want to come before you and confess a sin that's really come to light this week. I'm finding myself very angry, even to the extent that my wife had a dream this week that I was laid off from work for expressing in an inappropriate manner. So I am not laid off, praise God. But I am angry. And I know as well as you do, I seek God's word, and I am so thankful for 1 John 1:9. I can confess my sins. God is faithful and just. He has forgiven my sin and, praise God, purified it from all unrighteousness. But I think I need to go one step more. Really thankful for Pastor Steve's message, but I have a personal hero. She's a lady named Corey Ten Boom. Never met her, but I read a lot about her. She was a Dutch woman, lived in the 30s and 40s, right prior to World War II. And praise God, her family really believed in the Jewish people to the extent that they protected them, brought them into their home, hid them from the Nazis who would take their lives. Sorry, I don't know why my voice is failing me this morning. This woman and her whole family were taken into custody. They did not find the seven Jews that were hidden in their home. Yet they were taken into custody. She and her sister were actually imprisoned in a place called Ravensbrück. It's a concentration camp. I'm telling you too much to tell you something really important. They were put in a big building where they crammed way too many people. They had 10 people to a bunk. And her sister, Betsy, was amazing. She gave thanks for the black fleas, these biting fleas. It had to be miserable. They just lived in these beds, these filthy beds. And Corey said, why on God's green earth would you ever thank God for the black fleas? Betsy said, we're supposed to give thanks for all things. The story continues. The German guards would not come back into this area of the building because of the black fleas. They didn't want to get bit any more than the people did. And so that was the place they could pray. That was the place they could share God's word. I'm finding that I need to be like Betsy. And I need to give thanks for COVID-19. It makes me angry. And I have never been able to say thank you, God, for my mask. It makes me angry. I can't see. It fogs up my glasses. I can't breathe as clearly. The three plies of material, they muffle the voices of you who have such beautiful singing voices. So I give God thank you for the mask. But more importantly, I give thanks to God, our sovereign God, who has brought the Hollies back safely to our congregation. I give thanks to God for the Boshins, who He's carrying through the hardship of this disease. I give thanks to God for this gentleman who lost his life to it, because I am confident in the Word of God, the Word that Paul recorded, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Sorry, I don't know why this is so hard. Anyway, I want to confess before you, my brothers and sisters, my anger. But I also want you to realize that the center of disease can't control anything is not who we should be looking to for confidence. It is our God alone. I thank you for praying for me. Thank you. And I just pray for all of you and will continue to do so.
be okay. We'd get away with it here. I heard of a church in New Mexico that had anybody come up that wanted to talk, and it was not good because they didn't know each other. Mr. Wilson, you can come or blab in the middle of the building, whatever you think is best.
I'd just like to give thanks for all my church family and your prayers. And I'd kind of like to sing a song for y'all. It'd be a cappella, of course, but hopefully it'll be all right. It's called I Can't Even Walk. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. No, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think I'll trust Jesus to be my all in all. And if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. No, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. No, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
I've only been to one service that did this, where they passed the offering plate and said, "Who do you want to hear?" I've seen them do it once. Anybody else like to say something? Honey's going to say something.
Well, you can all be very grateful that I'm not going to sing. There's a song, it's called Even If, It's By Mercy Me, and I've taken that as my personal testimony, and it's like the three Hebrew children who said, even if God doesn't deliver us, we won't bow down to the statue. And there are things going on in our lives right now. This has been a horrible year in many ways. But God has been with me, and I know He will always be with me. And I know where I'm going, and I know where many of you are going. And that gives me great hope and confidence. And I'm thankful for this church who has always been here for me, always. And everything I've gone through, and I am just so grateful to you, Pastor Steve, and to his family, and to all of you, Rita, and Gay, and many, many more. Many, all of you have been so much to me, and I just want to say thank you, that thank you to God for being with me and for bringing me to this church.
Well, every year there's somebody. Always some. Thank you, Connie. Okay. Anybody else thinking they want to talk? Well, God's grace and thank you. Will the choir please come then?
When upon this village you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every dark will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings, many cannot buy. Your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Thank you.